All right. So, there we go. This week, we're going to start a new series on, I need a Bible. That would help. We're going to start a new series on a character in the Old Testament that you're probably all super familiar with. You've all heard the story 1,000 times, so I really don't need to preach it. If not, I'm going to tell you. His name is Samson. So, Samson is like the perfect definition of wasted potential. Yeah. I did a Google search today of wasted potential, and the list of things that came up was unbelievable. I mean, as actors and actresses that people had said, like a Johnny Depp kind of guy, you know, could have gone on to do unbelievable things far and beyond what he did had he not decided to overdose. Football players and college or basketball players, college stars that went to the pros, let the money get to their heads, and became nothing but wasted potential. So, here's kind of the backstory on Samson. His parents were unable to have kids. They couldn't do it. So one day, an angel comes to his mom. Hey, you're going to have a baby. She does what every mother in the Bible does and says, ha, 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 yeah, right. So the angel comes a second time and says, hey, you're going to have a baby. She's like, ha, 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 yeah, right. Guess what happened 9 months later? Baby shows up. So God brought Samson in the world in a special way. But he chose him also to be set apart. Okay, he's a Nazirite that came with certain vows. Part of that, as a blessing because of this, he made him the strongest man to ever live and possibly the greatest warrior to ever live as well. But when we think of Samson, we don't generally think about these wonderful things. We think about all the wasted potential. All the things that he didn't do, his inability to learn from his own mistakes and listen to people that were put in his life to help him do it better. So, my question is this. Have you ever ignored something your parents told you to do or not do and regretted it later? Have you ever ignored something your parents told you to do or told you not to do, and regretted it later? Pretty much all of us, right? So my question is this. What is it about our parents' advice or their rules that we're like, you're stupid? But if a teacher or a coach or a friend tells us the same thing, we want to listen to it. We think they're just being mean? Anybody else? No? Don't know? No other wonderful ideas? You just ignore them because you want to? Okay. I can get behind that. So, why is it that oftentimes the rules, instruction, advice, and opinions we ignore most do come from the people that love us the most? Why do we ignore those more often than not? Give me a really quiet message. We want to do what we want. All right. So my question on that one then is, if you had to sit down and put a percentage to, just a guess, a percentage to the number of time your parents have told you to do something or not to do something, and they've been right, what would that percentage be in your life? Do what? Like 90%. So, would everybody in the room say that their parents are probably in like maybe a 90% range? Give or take a little bit, maybe? Okay, anybody's parent like 100%? No. Okay, anybody's parent like 10%? 12? Okay, so Christians is 12. Everybody else in the middle or just not talking? What? 50. I'm shocked by these numbers. Maybe it's our age. So then I'll ask Lexi, because the rest of y'all aren't going to answer. If I told you I need $1,000 and there's a 90% chance that I'm going to give you back $1 billion for your $1,000 investment, would you take that?
Yeah.
Because there's a 90% chance, right? Which is pretty good. So why don't we listen to our parents with a 90% track record? Do what? There's not as big of a reward. I'm trying so hard not to go to Exodus right now. Okay, go ahead, Danica. Nothing, never mind. So, man. Okay, we're going to move on. When it came to listening to his parents, Samson's no different than us. Okay? He lived in a period of history where Israel had already gotten the Ten Commandments. They had the law, but they had no king. And so in the book, it tells us frequently, in those days, Israel had no king, and everybody did what they felt was right. Sounds like today, right? Everybody kind of does what they think is right. Everybody shake your head yes, because otherwise, see, I have 60 people on the youth roll, and if everybody did what they thought God was right, they'd be here instead of being elsewhere, all 60 of them. So shake your head yes, we'll all just agree to disagree. You're wrong, and I get to tell you that. All right, good. So, chaos in the country. It made them an easy target. Lots of enemy nations would come in, they'd invade them. They'd become slaves for a little bit. Israel would repent. God, we're so sorry. We did dumb. So God would bring them out of it using one of these judges. Okay, that word will come up in a minute. He'd bring one of these judges in, at which point we're going to take... Okay. Anyways, one of these judges would come out. They'd get pulled out of slavery for a minute. They'd last a few years. And next thing you know, we'd see it again. Israel lived in a time where they had no king and everybody did what was right in their sight. So, we're going to pick up a story of Samson, in Judges 14, that's where we're headed, in a very familiar place to each and every one of you, in Judges 14. That's in the Bible, towards the beginning. Judges 14:1-4. It's spelled with a J and ends with udges, yes. It's spelled the same way. We're getting there slowly but surely. Jesus may come back before we all get to that. Amen. All right, somebody give a page number for those that are... Ethan. Oh, 154. Thank you. I'm on 260 of 1500. I mean, okay. All right, so here we go. We're picking up the story when Samson is doing what every normal teenage boy does. Chases girls. Nice try. So here we go. Verse 1. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her." get her for me. His father and mother objected because they're jerks. Wait, that's not in there. Okay, it says, isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites you could marry, they asked. Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife? But Samson told his father, get her for me. She looks good to me. His father and mother didn't realize the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines who ruled over Israel at that time. So here's the deal. Again, Samson's a great warrior. He's the strongest man to ever live. Part of the Nazirite code, he's not allowed to cut his hair, so he's like this long, flowing hair. The what? Like Rock Band. Sure. Okay. So, Samson's like, hey, I want this woman. And his parents are like, no. And he does what all of us do. I'm going to date her anyways. Right? Like, he's sitting here probably thinking, hey, y'all have no idea why I like her. Y'all are old. You don't understand me and my needs. Ivy, why'd your eyes get all big? Good thing you don't have to see my pretty face to hear what's coming out of my mouth. So, either way, Samson did what most of us do and ignored his parents. Hey, I know what you said is right. You have a 90% track record of being right, but I'm going to ignore you anyways. Go get her for me. So, don't we do the same thing frequently? Like, we bring home a guy, we bring home a girl, and our parents are like, not feeling it. Not like her. Don't like him. And we're like, I'm going to do it anyways because I'm smarter than you. Not if your parents are accepting. Okay. So, I don't know how y'all's relationships have worked out, but I'll tell you how mine worked out. Everyone except one, my mom has said, Aaron, she's not right for you. Shut up, Mom. There you go. I was like, shut up, Mom. You don't know what you're talking about. Then a few months later, I was like, dang it, Mom, you were right. Just saying. So, moving down just a little bit. Verse 5. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. Okay, big old lion. Here we go. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily if it were a young goat. It's in the book. Okay, let me see if I can paraphrase this for you. He's walking down the road, a lion shows up, and he kills it with his bare hands. Oh, nice. I know, I do this every day. Like, seriously, does this not shock anybody else? Right, Danica, how much do you weigh? Oh, you can't ask a woman your... Okay, Danica, how much do you weigh? Give me a round number. Okay, I don't need like 109 pounds and 4 ounces. Just give me like a rough number. 100? Okay, who's got their phone? Christian, no. Somebody with a phone. Need a phone. All right, Emily, Google average weight for a lion. All right, so 420 pounds, like 4 times the size of Danica. So like 2 times the size of Troy. Mind you, let's remember for a second. Danica, open your mouth and smile big. Real big, like real super pretty smile. Okay, now don't move for a second. You see the size of Danica's head? That's the size of his mouth. Like, it's not like this whole little, no, it's like this big. Like, people in the circus, you've seen this before, take, open a lion mouth, stick whole head in mouth. Sit on her back and pull that. All right, so next youth field trip, Mariah to the zoo with us. We're going to take her in the pen with the lion and have her just sit there and ride him like a horsey. No, he's trying to kill him. Okay, let me see if I can put, let me see if I can bring this back down here. How many of y'all know what a pit bull is? All right, so somebody, all right. Okay, so we know what a pit bull is. We hear all the crazy stories on the news about the pit bulls, right? And how mean and ferocious they are. Or the internet. All right, here's the deal. I used to own a bunch of them. Like, that's the only dog I had after I moved out of my parents' house. I used to live in a house that had this huge bay window on the front of the house, and I had a couch that set up against the back of the bay window. There was a point in time where one of my friends came over and knocked on my front door, and it just kind of opened. Like, I had forgot to fully shut it and lock it or whatever. So they walked in the house and looked at me, and I said, "Aaron, aren't you worried about locking your door?" About that time, both of my pits came running out of the back of my house and proceeded to pin him up against the wall with both of their front paws on his chest. And he said, "Never mind." They would sit on the back of my couch and just look out the bay window. Like, you're not robbing that house. It's just not going to happen. So, mean, ferocious pit bull going to attack you. Multiply that by 4. That's the size of this lion. Samson grabs this thing, rips it apart by his bare hands. Now, okay, point number 2. Our strong man just walked into the room, okay? Isaiah can bench press everybody in the room put together, okay? We've seen him do it. So, Isaiah, I have a question. Do you think you could tear a lion in half with your bare hands? He's like, "Not even going to try, bro. I'm not going to mess with it." So Isaiah can beat everybody in this room up, and he's like, "I ain't touching this lion." Samson, on the other hand, gets attacked, and he's like, "Psh, no big, psh, in half." All right, nobody else gets it. I don't know, duty people. Okay, so here we go. The other half of the verse. But he didn't tell his father or mother about it. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he walked with the woman and was very pleased with her. So, verse 8. Later, he returned to Timnah for the wedding. He turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion. He found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. He scooped some of the honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it. But he didn't tell them that he had taken the money from the carcass of the lion. Why does that matter? Okay, again, Samson was born in a special way. He was set apart as a Nazirite. There are certain rules that go along with that. One of them is you're not supposed to touch a dead body. His parents would have given him this rule at an early age. He would have known you're not supposed to touch a dead body, but he did it anyways. Okay, he didn't tell his parents, "Hey, here's honey from a dead body." They would have gotten pissed. He's just like, "Here's some honey. Have a nice day." Okay? So, we got some reading to do because we've got to understand the next few verses here. There's minor issues. Little bitty things Samson keeps doing. But there's consequences that go along with that, and we're about to see them. Okay? Starting in verse 10. And his father was making final arrangements for the marriage. Samson threw a party at Timnah, as was the custom for elite young men. When the bride's parents saw him, they selected 30 young men from the town to be his companions. Samson said to them, "Let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of the celebration, I'll give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. If you can't solve it, you must give me 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing." All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. So he said, "Out of the one who eats came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. 3 days later, they're trying to figure it out. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to explain the riddle to us, or we will burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor? So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, you don't love me, you hate me. You've given my people an answer, but you haven't told me the answer. Sorry, you give my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. Remember, his parents told him, don't marry this chick. He says, I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother, he replied. Why should I tell you? So she cried whenever she was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. Don't marry this woman. Then she explained the riddle to the young men. So before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with her answer. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson replied, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle. He just called his wife a heifer. Okay? Just a piece of advice, guys, don't do that. Okay? 19, then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him. He went down to the town of Ashkelon, killed 30 men, took their belongings, and gave their clothing to the men who had solved his riddle. But Samson was furious about what had happened, went back home to live with his father and mother. So his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's best man at the wedding. Straight up. Leaves him for the best man. All right. 15:1, later on during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a present to his wife. He said, I'm going into my wife's room to sleep with her. But her father wouldn't let him in. I truly thought you must hate her, her father explained. So I gave her in marriage to your best man. But look, her younger sister is even more beautiful than she is. Marry her instead. So here we go. Ethan marries Ivy. Gets mad. Leaves. Comes back. John's like, sorry, bro. Gave Ivy away. Have Roxy. All good. How you feeling right now, Ethan? Let me help you out. Don't answer that. Okay, no matter what happens, don't answer that question. Here we go. So, verse 3, Samson said, this time I cannot be blamed for everything I'm going to do to you Philistines. He went out and caught 300 foxes. This is greatness. He tied their tails together in pails. Then he fastened a torch to each pair of their tails. Then he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the grains of the fields of Philistines. He burned all their grain to the ground, including the sheaves and the uncut grain. He also destroyed their vineyards and olive groves. Does anybody want to see 300 foxes with their tails tied together on fire running through fields? This guy, I'm telling you, I'm all over it. All right, the girls are like, oh my gosh, that's so mean to the animal. Y'all suck. I'm telling you. All right. I don't know how they all fit. I'm just telling you, this is craziness. All right. All right, verse 7. Because you did this, Samson vowed, I won't rest until I take my revenge on you. So he attacked the Philistines with great fury and killed many of them. Then he went to live in a cave in the rock of Etam. The Philistines retaliated by setting up camp in Judah, spreading out near the town of Lehi. So the men of Judah asked the Philistines, why are you attacking us? The Philistines replied, we've come to capture Samson. We've come to pay him back for what he did to us. So 3,000 men of Judah went down to get Samson at the cave in the rock of Etam. They said to Samson, don't you realize the Philistines rule over us? What are you doing to us? Samson replied, I only did to them what they did to me. All right, so we're going to skip down to verse 14. We're going to wrap this up. As Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines came shouting in triumph. But the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson, and he snapped the ropes on his arms as if they were burnt strands of flax. They fell from his wrists. Then he found the jawbone of a recently killed donkey. He picked it up, killed 1,000 Philistines with it, and then said, with the jawbone of a donkey, I've piled them in heaps. With the jawbone of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 men. When he finished his boasting, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was named Jawbone Hill. So, at the end of all of this, at least 1,030 people are dead. 300 foxes have been burned alive. All the crops and fields have been totally burned up, so the people have nothing to eat. A marriage is ruined, and a war is almost started. There's some chaos going on right here. Go ahead. I'm telling you, stole the words out of my mouth. All this could have been prevented had he not decided to marry the woman from Timnah. 1,000 people are dead. Fields are burnt. The foxes is funny. That's all just all good. But literally, people are going to starve, and a war is about to start. Because this dude said, I know what you're saying is right, but I'm going after her anyways. So, my question then is this. Do you even listen? Like, God puts people in our lives to help us navigate through life. To help us navigate through the situations that we're going through. To help not make life so hard. So, do we even listen to them? Or do we keep going about our own way? Like, Samson didn't have a discussion with his parents and be like, you know what? I see what you're saying. I just kind of see things differently. So maybe we can talk about it. No. He just went and did exactly what he wanted to do on his own. Like, realistically, I'd be willing to bet the times that you've gotten yourself in the most trouble, somebody in your life has probably said, I wouldn't recommend you do that. Or go another direction. Am I right? No? I thought you said no. I'm just, like, is that how it works? Most of the time when you end up getting in trouble doing something dumb, somebody in your life has said, hey, bro, I wouldn't do that. That's generally how it worked in my life. So, what would happen if the next time that you disagreed with your parents, if you actually listened instead? Like, that's the Sunday school answer. I get it. I'm good. That's the one I'm looking for. But I'm just thinking, if we actually sat down and listened to our parents, like, hey, I really don't think you should date that guy. Stop it. What would happen? Yeah. So here's the reality of the picture, though. It's not always going to happen like that. It's one thing to be like, hey, okay, you know what? You're probably right. So move on down the road. But we're teenagers, and we're going to do dumb stuff. So what if we just took a different approach sometimes? And instead of just the, okay, fine, I'll do it your way, or the other one of screw you, you're dumb, what if we said, look, Mom, look, Dad, here's the deal. I hear what you're saying. I just don't really understand why you're saying it. And we tried to hear their side of the picture. There may be some possibility to that. And it might come the first, like, 10 times. But I have a feeling at some point it's going to transition into a more adult-like conversation that has to do with, this is why I'm explaining this to you. Like, if they say, go take the trash out, and you say, I don't understand why, yes, because I said so, that works. But if they say, hey, I don't think you should date this guy, and you're like, can you explain me why you're saying this? I've got to think that most of your parents would at least try and have a conversation. Like, they may not. Maybe. I don't know. Ivy's over here shaking her head. No. Because I'm your parent. Maybe. But is that because you've argued in the past? All right, we're going to move on, for Aaron says something he shouldn't say. Oh, man. So, if all of this stuff could have been avoided, because Samson listened to his parents. I have two questions then. One, are we headed down this same path? Okay, I don't know how many of you are going to like tie 300 oxtails together and kill 1,000 people with a jawbone, but I don't know what is headed, what God has in store for you if you just decide not to listen to the people in front of you. But how much better would life be if we chose to listen? Like, we talked about Peter a few weeks back. Here's Peter. Hey, Peter, do this. I don't really wanna. Okay, so now you can deny me 3 times. Peter, step out of the boat. Keep your eyes on me. Yeah, I don't really wanna. Oh, okay, then you can sink. Like, the entire book, literally, page by page, every book, is one story after another of God saying, you know what, you should do this. And the people going, yeah, I'd rather do it my way. And then the consequences. In the Old Testament, usually a bunch of people die. In the New Testament, usually people go to hell. So, none of those sounds enticing to me. Why don't we try listening to the people God's put in our lives and paying attention to what they say and arguing less? Aside from you, because you don't ever argue with your parents, I totally understand. The rest of us, though, we do argue with our parents. So, that's my question. I'm done. Y'all can go to your small groups and discuss this now.